God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening. Welcome into Do Not Keep Silent. What's your hope in? Is your hope in Christ or something else? Want to dig into that just a bit tonight. This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. We must be over the rainbow.
This is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dzurek, your host for the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Also wanted to direct you to Worldview Warriors. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Worldviewwarriors.org. We're living in such interesting times, aren't we? Well, I wanted to start off the program tonight, again, asking you a question. What is your hope in? Truly, have you thought about that recently? Have you thought about, am I putting my faith and trust in God, or am I putting my faith and trust in, money, in some government program, some government entity, and some person, or am I putting it in God Almighty? Friends, we have little gods in our lives all over the place. A lot of us just don't realize we have idols poking their heads all over in what we're doing. Exodus 20, verse 3 states, "You shall have no other gods before me." Again, that's written by the very finger of Almighty God. Gave those to Moses. And again, there's 10 of them, the 10 commandments. Also, we'll take a look at Exodus 20, 4 through 6. "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Friends, have you ever truly considered these words from Almighty God? You see, if we choose to, follow other things than Almighty God and worship them, in essence, bowing down to them, putting them a priority over Almighty God, it's quite clear that God is a jealous God. Some of you who are going, "Oh, no, not me. No, no." Look, just going to get a little down and dirty here right now. Just being honest. What I love about the ministry we do is I'm able to talk to not just youth, but young adults, those off at college, those who've left their home after graduating high school, others who've left their home not graduating high school. Recently, I was able to talk with someone in their very early 20s. And we had such a deep conversation. It was personally amazing. It was just incredible. Parents, we have a great responsibility. I think many of us have forgotten what our responsibility really is regarding children. And I'm not picking on you. I'm throwing myself in there too. Again, in Exodus 20, 4 through 6, in there it states, again, God is a jealous God. So if we're putting other things ahead of God, well, he doesn't like that. Quite clear, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. You know, I've been sharing this for a while now. I had Mark Quinter on recently, my dear friend and pastor up at Old Fort Church. And he was talking about repentance pretty big time. By the way, for those of you wondering, what is repentance? Repenting is not doing it your way anymore, going God's way. Turning to go God's way. So before I move on, where have you been selfish in your life? Where have you, well, decided, hey, I'm number one. I'm more important, not just more than Almighty God, but maybe your wife, maybe your husband, maybe even your children. Hey, I'm more important. And then on top of that, saying, well, I'm more important or they're more important than Almighty God. Again, in Exodus 20, it states that there's a consequence for that. We'll be disciplined. We'll be punished. The children will be punished to the third and fourth generations. I just want to encourage you, consider asking God for forgiveness, confessing your sin to Him. Just surrender and say, God, I'm sorry. Right here, I've been prideful. I have not humbled myself in the least. I'm going to turn this over to you. And then, friend, when more than likely, unfortunately, when you start going that way again, confess it and ask for forgiveness. Because, friends, it goes on in Exodus 20, again, 4 through 6, near the end here. It says, showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You see, loving God is keeping His commandments. And it goes on to tell us in Scripture that His commandments are not burdensome. They don't make things heavy on your soul, on your spirit. I encourage you, get real with Almighty God tonight. Maybe you even need to get real, not just with yourself, but maybe you need to get real with your wife, your husband. Maybe your future wife, your future husband. And parents, I know it can be very difficult to be open and honest with your children. Because who really wants their children, well, looking at them like they've failed? I don't like that at all. But I do want to challenge you with this. How else are your children going to know how to follow Almighty God unless you show the way? Unless you give the example, confessing your sin, asking for forgiveness, and then repenting, going God's way. Friends, as I get older now, and I am a follower of Christ, I hate admitting it, but it's actually easier to recognize these things a little more than before I followed Christ. So, who or what are you putting your faith and trust and hope in? In 2021 here, what are you looking to? Where are you, again, putting your hope in? What are you putting your hope in? Friends, I'll just ask you a few questions here. I'll come back in just a bit, but I've got many more where this came from. If a family member gets sick, or you are getting sick of somehow, something, and I'm not trying to just point at our certain our situation, if you will, regarding the coronavirus and all that. That's not what this is about tonight. But I do think that situation has helped rear its head as far as where many of us has put our faith and trust and hope in. And sadly, I don't know if it truly is an almighty God. It seems that we're putting our faith and trust and hope in people. That doesn't mean we don't work together on things and move forward. No, absolutely not. But ultimately, who is your faith and trust and hope in? Again, when a family member or you get sick, who or what are you putting your hope in? What do you do, you know, when it seems as if the needs in your life are not being met? By the way, I'd encourage you, take some time. We're going to take a little break here. Take some time during that break. Write down some things that you believe are needs in your life, truly needs. I'm not talking about wants. What are things you truly need, and are you receiving them? And friend, when you're unable to afford a need in your life, who or what do you put your hope in? Look, there are times where even in this nation, people are going, I wonder where my next meal's coming from. There's also things within this nation where at times we've been supplied our need, but selfishly, we're going, well, I don't really like that. I wonder what else I could get. Whoa, 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 whoa. Your need's been met. Now it seems you just don't like what's happened. That's different. Friends, when I get to a fast cast here, just wanted to remind some of you and share with you, you know, in my life, in my family's life, we have been supplied so many things by Almighty God. It is unbelievable. It truly is. What God does and how he supplies, friends, God wants to supply your need. God wants to love you. I think sometimes we just don't like how it's given, or it's not in our way, so we don't, you know, think it's from him. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I hope it does somewhat. Maybe we need to be a little more thankful. Again, my name is Jason Zurich, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Who or what is your hope in?
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
As we begin this Fastcast today, I'd like to direct you to our The Foundation Matters series. I'd like you to consider a very important word today from George Washington. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Friends, that's a quote from George Washington. Also, Ecclesiastes 1:9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. We find that in Ecclesiastes 1:9. I want to direct you to our blog post titled, Being Good Without God.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
Years ago, when my wife and I had our first child, we had a decision to make. Well, in fact, we had a whole lot of decisions to make. One of those decisions was how we were going to teach our children the difference between right and wrong, and how we would administer this teaching. We decided very early on to be consistent in our teaching and in our delivering of benefits or consequences to one's actions. You see, we decided to actually administer first-time obedience with our children. To dig into more of this, I'd like to direct you to our blog post, written by yours truly, titled Discipline.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, my name is Jason Mazurek, your host for the program. Appreciate you taking time to choose this program to listen to. You can find more about our ministry at worldviewwarriors.org, equipping students to impact this generation for Jesus Christ. And parents and grandparents tuning in right now, you need to know, we believe you are an integral part of all of that. To be quite blunt, we believe many of the things going on in our society where we can see that we've gone away from the Bible and gone away from Almighty God's ways. So many people want to blame the youth of today. I got to be honest with you. I'm personally quite sick of that. Why am I sick of it? Well, because the reality is those children were taught by some people how to think in the way they are. So who's responsible for that? Ultimately, and I know a lot of people will point their fingers at educators or point their fingers at someone that they thought shared with them a way of living in a certain way that the parents didn't agree with. Well, ultimately, who's responsible? Parents, that's you. That's me. It's us. Not all of us, but many of us now are, well, we're in the Generation X generation. So I'm talking to you out there who are within the Generation X generation. Let's take responsibility. Let's start confessing our sin, asking God for forgiveness, and let's move on. Let's repent and go God's way and show our children the example of what it means to follow Christ. Let's truly do it, my friends. No one else is going to do it for us. God has given you the children you have for a reason. Look, I have 6 children of my own. I'm right there with you. Let's continue on of who or what is your faith and hope and trust in. You know, when you get into trouble for something, whatever it might be, who or what is your hope in? How are you going to get on the good and right path of Almighty God again? If a dear friend or a family member that you just love gets cancer, or, God forbid, the coronavirus, who or what do you ultimately put your hope in? Who? If you end up losing your job and, you know, your financial situation has completely changed, are you putting your faith and hope and trust in Almighty God or in some system that's been put into place for you to follow? Who or what is your hope in? Now for some nitty-gritty stuff here. If your teenage daughter somehow gets pregnant out of wedlock, before I ask you the question, I'm going to ask you another question. Will you truly love your daughter still? Be there for her, not kick her out of the house. She's welcome in your home no matter what. Will you be completely loving? Like God is loving. Be honest with yourself. Remember your youth. I remember myself and I'm going, my goodness, why did the Lord welcome me back? I definitely did not deserve it. But he did. We need to be the same with our children. If you're daughter ends up getting pregnant out of wedlock, or your son gets someone pregnant before he's married, who or what do you put your hope in? If you feel cheated in this life, things didn't go your way, and now you want justice for the situation, who or what do you put your faith and hope and trust in? Friends, there are so many questions I could be asking you, and that would be just to get the juices flowing in your mind. But I think you get the point. I encourage you to continue to do this self-examination, and please answer honestly. Ask Almighty God to guide and direct you and help you. I mean, truly help and guide you. Stop just filling your mind with stuff of, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that goes. Okay? Stop focusing in on things that are so confusing. God is not a God of confusion, friends. As I continue moving on here, I would like to, well, encourage you with some things out of 1 Timothy that are just, well, personally, I think, incredible. I really do. The beginning of 1 Timothy verse 2, should say chapter 2, states, I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made in behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved, amen for that, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, I just want to point out something that a dear friend of mine pointed out to me, I don't know, a few weeks ago. Because as we were going through this, I asked him, I'm like, okay, my life is full of struggle and pain and just things that are just crazy. But yet, right here in verse 2 of 1 Timothy 2, it says that I need to do this praying and be of thanksgiving, and that it will lead to a tranquil and quiet life. So why do I not feel like I'm in a tranquil and quiet life? And my friend, who I love dearly, he took his finger and he started pointing up and down. And he said, Jason, that's the relationship between you and God. So that you have peace and your life will be quiet. And then the next part, in all godliness and dignity, now that moves to your character and your integrity along going horizontally from left to right, meaning here on earth, so that you will live a godly life with dignity here. So you're still going to have troubles here on the earth. I mean, even Jesus said that. So it kind of comes down to, are we going to believe him or just kind of make up our own decision, our own mind that, well, maybe it just means something else. No, it doesn't. It means what it means. But we need to come to a point of understanding that quietness, peace, that's inner, inside. That's with you and the Holy Spirit. And your struggles will be on the outside world, in the world. Again, we should live our lives in the world, not of the world. Again, my name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. I thank you so much for being with me here. I hope you've been encouraged tonight. I hope you're being equipped to follow Christ in all that you do. We need to stop fearing, stop worrying, stop being anxious about everything. My dear friends, put your focus in on Christ. I do encourage you to join me in reading the Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, which means that you can get through the entire book of Proverbs in 1 month if you read one chapter every single day. This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity, Katar. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story. And that day mine changed.
Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.